Welcome to another edition of Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio, brought to you by Power Scout Hockey, serving coaches and scouts everywhere with hockey's ultimate data engine. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're in week five, so we're going to get right at her. So the next two segments, we're going to talk about the Florida Panthers prospects, and we're happy to have on as our guest is Scott Luce, Director of Scouting for the Florida Panthers. Scott, thanks for coming on the show again. We always appreciate that.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, Scott, over the last, you know, 3, 4, maybe even 5 years, you guys have collected, you know, a pretty fine stable of prospects, and you've had the ability to be patient with many of them and let them develop and at their own pace and be understanding of where they are in this situation. Talk a little bit about a guy that you drafted last year who I'm really curious about. I got a chance to see him play this year in Jace Haralick. Just a guy who you took in the second round, not the tallest guy, but sturdy, you know, but most importantly, what I think he has from an NHL standpoint is the hockey sense, the work ethic, and the skating ability to play at an NHL level. What are your guys' thoughts on how he's played so far this season? Because honestly, just statistically aside, I think he's had a great start.
Yeah, there's no question that when we selected Jace, we liked all those things that you mentioned. He was a great interview for us at the draft. He plays to his personality. He's an intense young man. He plays an intense game on the ice. He plays with a lot of pride, a lot of passion. Sometimes that can get the better of him. But that's the things that we liked in his game was his intangibles. He's not a big guy, but like you said, he's sturdy. He's aggressive. He's a pain in the neck for opposing defensemen, and people forget that, you know, he's got good offensive numbers. So we like his upside. We think he's playing to his potential right now, and we're anxiously watching him as he develops over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, right now he's more in the point of game. He's definitely a playmaking center. He can definitely finish, too. I mean, he really he has a way of trailing plays and following up shots and putting in rebounds, and that's a thing that you have to like. You have to like him on the power play. And I like his pro wrist shot. And he's really dangerous when he has the puck sort of to the left or the right of the crease area. And if the defenseman gives him some room, he can snipe it.
Yeah, he has a good natural ability to find those seams when he's shooting from the mid slot and just off the, you know, off from the center of the mid slot. So that's an excellent point.
Scott, I don't know if you've noticed. It's something that has been impressed upon me over, you know, the first 18, 19 games of his season, is that, you know, 80% of his points come 5-on-5. And for a junior player, you know, that's a pretty exceptional percentage, considering that obviously he's going to get top power play time with the Brandon Wheat Kings. Has that been something that you guys have noticed? And because I think prospects, the more they can produce 5-on-5 against, you know, the top lines of the opposition and the top pairing D-men, I think that bodes well as you transition into pro hockey through the American League and then ultimately into the NHL.
Yeah, no, it's a good litmus test, that's for sure. You know, those are the things that we look at, those intangibles, when we're talking, when our development personnel, Brian Skrulin and Brian McCabe, are talking with the coaches and Brandon and talking with Jace to see how his game's going, what he needs to work on, what's going well. And those are things that, yes, definitely, you know, his 5-on-5 production is key because that'll definitely bode well for his development as he transitions to the pro game sooner rather than later, hopefully.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio, brought to you by Power Scout Hockey, serving coaches and scouts everywhere with hockey's ultimate data engine. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're talking about the Florida Panthers prospects with Scott Luce, Director of Scouting for the Panthers. Scott, before we get into the next player, I just want to say congratulations to your family and your son for, you know, his effort at the World Under 17 Challenge, and looked like a chip off the old block, and looked, although he plays a different position, sort of looked like his grandfather out there, smooth and steady.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was an exciting time for our family. The U.S. team didn't come away with the medal they wanted, but it's a great experience for all the young men involved in that fine tournament. City of Sarnia did a great job hosting it, as well as the small town of Forest, Ontario. So it was a good experience for all, and he is definitely more like his grandpa than his dad, that's for sure.
Well, let's talk about a defenseman. You know, actually, in some ways, maybe very similar to your son in the way they play, and Ian Mikosian, where he's a bigger body, steady. Obviously, in the United States Hockey League, he produced big offense, but now in his second year in Boston, I don't necessarily know if offense is his game, but I would define him as a smart two-way defenseman who can make those good outlet passes, make passes into transition and hit forwards with speed, but has the body and the tenacity and the intelligence to, you know, man up defensively and not allow guys to run roughshod around his net and around his goaltender.
Yeah, no, definitely. On projection, that's what Ian's going to be. He's going to be a strong, steady two-way defender with some secondary offense in his game. He's got a good shot from the point. It's well-placed. He shoots for rebounds. He identifies guys in passing lanes very quickly for a big guy. And his size and his strength down low when he contains opposition forwards is very noticeable at the collegiate level. He just needs a little bit more mileage at the college level to round out his game and polish up his overall game. But that's what Ian is on projection. He's a solid two-way guy that can give you some secondary offense if needed.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I think we see more of these defensemen getting sort of churned out of the U.S. system, and that's he is just a guy that you could – he skates well, can definitely have a little bit of offense, passes well, the instincts are good, and you could plug him into a variety of roles in the future. And it just seems like of everything that the U.S. is producing, it just seems like this is the time that they're producing so many good defensemen.
Yeah, that's a good point, Russ. They're well-rounded. And they can serve both complementary roles with a high-end offensive partner, or they can be a great tandem with a player of similar ilk on the other side. So, and that's, you know, could be in the shutdown role in the international tournament, or it could be in an offensive transitional role that all the partners.
You know, Scott, in terms of Ian Mikosian's game this year, I know you guys don't get a say on who gets picked for the World Junior team, but you know, from your perspective, what would that mean to Ian Mikosian's game to be on the World Junior team for USA?
Well, I think that's it's a great opportunity for him to grow his game through confidence, you know, on the world stage. You know, he got dinged up at the summer camp in Lake Placid. They rested him out. He had been playing very well there. And, you know, so he's going to have a good opportunity to get that chance again to play in that tournament. And it being in Canadian environment will be very, you know, very hostile for an American team up in Canada for the World Junior Championship. So hopefully he gets that opportunity, and you know, he's going to do his best to do that, and we're confident that it'll happen.
He's a cool customer, Shane. He'd be great for the tournament.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. I'm curious to see how he would perform. You know, anytime you put a player like that against, you know, the most elite peer group, especially in an environment like where it's going to be loud and proud. And you're going to have, you know, Americans coming over as well. I'm just curious to see how players react to that emotional roller coaster that happens in such a short tournament, and gives you not a full picture, but, you know, a snapshot of how they react in that situation. And, you know, you take the good and the bad from that, and you help them with their, you know, further player development. So I'm curious to see if he makes the team and how he reacts in that situation.
Yeah, he's in a situation where he'd like to improve upon his performance at last year's tournament. He played a more of a limited role last year, and he'd like to be more of a go-to guy this season.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio, brought to you by Power Scout Hockey, serving coaches and scouts everywhere with hockey's ultimate data engine. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're talking about the Florida Panthers prospects with Scott Luce, their director of scouting. Scott, I want to talk to you about a guy who, for whatever reason, probably because he went the junior A route and is in Boston College, but gets absolutely no press, is Michael Matheson, who I think at 23rd overall may end up being like a fantastic pick for you guys. You know, he's 6'2", around 200 pounds, just a smart, puck-moving, two-way defenseman, who I think has even some more upside. How pleased have you guys been with his progress at Boston College?
Good. I mean, I'm in Boston now. I'll see them play tomorrow night against Harvard. Mike's, you know, had a season where the team's not doing as well as they'd like, but both him and Ian are taking a lot of responsibility on the back end with the injury to Santini. So both Mike and Ian are playing a lot of minutes. Mike's a smooth skating. He's a dimensional skater. He's above average skater in the NHL. He can transition the puck with passing or skating. So he brings a couple of different layers to his game on projection. And, you know, he's a competitive guy. He wants to be the best he can be every shift. And he wants to be able to, you know, lead his Boston College team to a national championship as the captain this season. So he's put a lot of pressure on himself, and hopefully he can achieve his goals here this year at Boston College.
Yeah, Shane, he's another one who he's got more offense than Ian right now, but he's been playing longer. Really good hitter, really great skater, above average shot, and really good stick and puck control. And so that's the thing. He gets the bulk of the playing time there, and he's a really solid guy.
Scott, one of the things that sort of stood up for me in Michael's game that has improved is his puck retrieval, where he's going back, he's getting there a little bit quicker, and he has, a calmer demeanor once he gets the puck and looks up ice, even with the, you know, with forwards, with F1 right on top, or maybe F2's coming down and cutting off some angles, that there's that calm, you know, like a vibe about him where he's not panicking at all. Do you guys notice that from his
Absolutely.
Year from last year to this year?
Absolutely. I mean, that's anytime you transition from level to level in our sport, it's all about timing, right? And adjusting to the faster pace. So when he went from the USHL to college, he could physically get there faster than a lot of the guys, but then he had to work on making the proper play with that additional time. And now he has much more puck presence. He has good rink awareness. He identifies the forecheckers. He's confident in his ability to make the right play with his first pass. And once again, with more mileage at the college level, he now understands that, you know, if there's no options there, I can skate it just as easy. And that's a huge asset to have.
From your guys' perspective, I know you don't want to push guys through college ranks, you know, quickly. You want to let them go at their own paces. If Michael has a successful year, do you think it's a time for him to move to the next level? Like, would you like to see a guy dominate a couple of years in college before taking the next step?
Yeah, you know, Dale Talon, our philosophy as an organization, we don't tell the players what they should do, where they should play, and so on and so forth. If Mike expresses interest to us that he wants to turn pro after this season, then we'll definitely entertain that. And, you know, from a skating point of view, he's ready to do that. And his play the rest of the way will, you know, indicate to us if he's ready to make that transition to the pro level. But it's still relatively early in his college season. And the one thing we want Mike to do is focus on being the best student and best hockey player he can be, you know, this year for Boston College.